Thank you very much. The founding father is this guy back there, anybody who doesn't know him. This is Course at Work with Pepa Montag and Petra Sunica in the framework of a Gacha project which we have running here at Mendel University together with the Masaryk University on migration in transition countries. So we are looking at specifics of migration processes in transition or former Soviet countries. And actually, the work is very much under revision. So in actually, Pepa is doing the revisions and I'm presenting an old version of the paper today. But the issue is we sort of wanted to focus on in this one is that there is quite a lot of evidence in migration research that people who own a house move less than people who do not own a house. And the question, and it's quite clear, you know, there are two processes at work. On the one hand, if you own a house, to organize a move of residents and of workplace together becomes more complicated. You have to sell the house, likely you're going to lose the money. On the other hand side, there is also a self-selection problem in there. People, once you have settled in your life, you're going to want to maybe buy a house, and this is the place I will stay for my lifetime, then you're ready to buy yourself a house. Now, the real interesting part comes in once you link that to the labor market experience of house owners. Lower mobility should mean that house owners are more likely to be unemployed because they are not mobile. So if you imagine yourself living in Przeclaw and Przeclaw you lose your job, you're not mobile. Maybe in Brno they are looking for your job, but you can't move there because you own a house, so you should be more employed. This is the so-called Oswald hypothesis in a famous paper in 1996, and a whole bunch of literature builds up on that. But Oswald did his work on macroeconomic data, so he was regressing countries on homeownership rates, unemployment rates of countries on homeownership rates, and there's a bunch of microeconometric evidence, and they find, well, somehow this Oswald hypothesis doesn't really figure out. Actually, homeowners often, in most of these studies, have lower unemployment risks or equal unemployment risks, shorter unemployment duration, higher wages than renters. And so this creates sort of a tension between what we theoretically expect and what we empirically see. And there are basically two hypotheses or two explanations we have found for this. On the one hand, a bunch of authors argue, well, you know, homeowners may be more effective in their search for new employment, or there may be a difference in the behavior of homeowners with and without a mortgage. I'll become a little bit more precise on that as I go along. Now, most of the research that we have on these issues goes on is on US, EU, OECD countries. And so one of the arguments I'm going to make is, well, it's interesting to know, is there a difference between former communist countries and sort of the established market economies. So basically, I'm going to have three contributions. The first one is we use a large-scale data set to add another region of 29 countries and 5 developed market economies, so I can benchmark it against market economies, just to add another list another set of countries to the list of countries that have been dealt with. Empirically, we will look at a few channels that could perhaps explain differences in unemployment experience, why these homeowners don't have higher unemployment rates, and we'll do a little bit more than the literature has done previously. And finally, this is the part which is under revision. We're going to see whether we can use privatization in these countries, housing privatization, as different ways to obtain ownership have an impact, and actually as an instrument or that can tell us more about the causality in that relationship than the previous research. So the idea there is that in this housing privatization, this was done very often at a very low price relative to the market price to the tenants of the houses. And the idea is, as long as these tenants were randomly, or at least were not allocated to those houses with the view of privatization, you can view this privatization process as a sort of a randomization where people are at random allocated houses. And it's thrown on them basically for a very low price. Everybody not to take it is silly not to take it. And so they make the housing and they do that. Outline is fairly conventional. First, I'll give you some descriptive statistics to maybe make you think, well, maybe adding another few countries to that may be interesting. Talk a little bit about, more in detail, about theory, data, method, results, conclusions. So, fine with that. Look at a few. So, I'm saying, well, I'm just adding another set of countries to a long list of countries that have been analyzed. Why is that interesting? Well, most of the argument I made at the beginning, why home ownership makes you bound in your place, is focusing on transaction costs for housing stock. And so we found, at least in the literature, there's the repeated claim that the transaction costs for housing property are actually very high in most of the former communist countries. So that should facilitate the identification of effects of home ownership. Also, and I'll go a little bit more into detail on that one, credit markets are less efficient and mortgage rates are very low in transition countries. In Austria, it is automatic that when you buy a house, you get a mortgage. So in the Czech, or in the countries we are analyzing, these are very distinct processes, so it may be easier to disentangle this effect of mortgages from those of house ownership that has been notoriously complicated in the previous literature. Yeah, and as I said, most of the privatization was giveaway privatization, or some of these privatization, and we could look at that, whether that's a randomization of processes. Just show you some descriptive statistics. These are the mobility rates, so basically willingness to move for job-related reasons. In the data I'm using, there's one question: would you be willing to move for job-related reasons? And if you look at that, in France, about 68% of the people, if I can interpolate that correctly, say yes, they would be willing to do that. And in the Czech Republic, well, this ratio is just below 30%. And you see that all of the countries are below the maximum of my comparator countries. And you also see that in the former Soviet Union, actually none of the countries except the Republic of Mongolia, and I don't know how Mongolians, I know very little about Mongolia, and I'm not going to venture an opinion, but there is very little thing. The former Yugoslav republics at least tend to obtain, in general, an above average, above the lowest level, which interestingly is Italy here, and you get sort of a mixed picture for the new member states of the countries that are surveyed. What is really fascinating is the home ownership rates. Yeah? If you come from Austria, you tend to think of former socialist countries as sort of state-owned economies. Yeah, but the home ownership rates among these countries are way above anything we have ever seen in Western Europe. Italy, France, the home ownership is somewhere around 40%. Italy with the highest in the comparator countries, somewhere at 75%. In most of these countries, you have over 90% home ownership rates. And so that tells you home ownership is an important phenomenon in that thing. And this is the one on the mortgages, where you see in places like Sweden, your chance, given home ownership, the chance that you also have a mortgage is up over 80%. In countries, in these countries we are looking at, these home mortgage rates among homeowners are somewhere around 10%. So very little mortgage, a lot of home ownership.
So is there any explanation for this high level of home ownership?
Well, if you start giving your houses away for free, the tendency is for people to take them. That would be one. There is also one difference. I'm not sure about how the cooperatives are measured separately. No, my favorite explanation would be either the privatization process. You could also look at the settlement structure. Maybe the settlement structure is a little bit different in these places.
Can I help you? I come from a country, ex-Soviet country. Usually the communists used to give people like houses, apartments, whatever, according to the size of their family. So if you have two children, you will get like 3+ KK and so on and so on. So after 1989, in case of Romania, for example, all those houses that were given by the state and you were paying like a very small rent, they actually went into possession of people. So you have to pay a small amount of money in 1990. Well, I don't know if it's the state actually sold. But the amount of money that you have to pay for that dwelling is nothing. So that's why you have 90% of
May I ask the country with the lowest home ownership is Germany?
Yeah, in that sense it's Germany, and the highest one is Italy.
And Austria is
like... Not in the sample, but my expectation would be that Austria should be above Germany, because we heavily subsidize home ownership. So there are various economic programs that... You have a special savings program to finance housing. You have special loans, especially in the circumferences of Vienna, because communities attract, goes a little bit further, but communities attract population through providing housing for very cheap housing, and through attracting population, they get more money from the state. So there's an incentive to maximize your population in Austria through the way the internal revenues are distributed within the country.
So it's above Germany,
It should be above Germany. But this is a guess. I do not know. I cannot guarantee you that it's true, but my guess would be it should be not as high as Italy, somewhere UK levels. That would be my expectation.
Nevertheless, probably the property tax are lower in these former Soviet Union countries. So even nowadays, the house ownership is a nice investment compared to the West, when the property taxes are higher. So.
But also one that is not financed by a mortgage as a rule. So you have the money or... So my reading of that is it's a combination of... privatization, investment chances, low taxation, maybe. Good, thank you.
Actually, the, in the data, about 15% of the households, they privatize. So that means 15% of the difference.
Fifteen. So, but yeah, that is they got the housing through privatization. I don't know how much of the stock was actually privatized, because... Again, I'll talk about the data a little bit later. The data is not in 1992 or 93, but a little bit later. So just to fix ideas and say what is going on, we are going to look at, and I'm not going to do it formally, just discuss the mechanisms there. We are going to consider a search model of the labor market with endogenous search effort, two identical regional labor markets, so region 1 and region 2, indexed by J, and one of them is called local and the other is distant. We're also going to consider three types of people. One of them are renters, homeowners without a mortgage, and homeowners with mortgage. And the difference between these people are mobility costs. So renters can search in both markets and move from one market to the other free of cost. The extremist assumption, no mobility cost for renters. For homeowners without a mortgage, the problem is just selling the house. They lose money, transaction costs. Actually, they lose utility. You can transfer that into utility anytime when selling a house. So for them, there is a disincentive to search in the distant region, because if they find a job in the distant region, they can only access that job by selling their house and moving there, and that implies a cost. And unemployed mortgage owners, in addition, have the risk that they cannot repay the mortgage once they are unemployed. That also means their houses will be taken away, sold at a very low price. They probably make a loss doing that. So the mortgage owners are also incentivized to keep their job as good as possible because they want to repay the mortgage. Yeah? Now, what happens in that model is quite clear. The renters, they do not specialize in search. Now, suppose they lose their job and they have to find a new job. They are indifferent whether their job will be in Břeclav or in Brno. They will search in both markets and they will invest into that search, which costs them in terms of utility in equal amounts, so that the marginal returns of an extra unit of search in both labor markets equilibrate. The homeowners, they will try to avoid finding a job in Břeclav and moving from Brno. So they will search only in Brno or specialize in Brno and search little in Břeclav. And finally, for the mortgage owners, they will search much more than the homeowners, because if they stay unemployed too long, their risk of losing their house through a bankruptcy procedure stops. They will search more. They will also specialize in the region that they live in, but they will search more than homeowners. So what happens in that model, it's easy to show that renters have a higher probability to find a job than homeowners without mortgage, that homeowners have a lower probability to find a job than the homeowners without a mortgage, and it cannot be clearly said whether it's the homeowners with a mortgage or the renters that have the highest job probability finding rate. Since in search models the probability to find a job is equivalent to the unemployment rate, or directly linked to the unemployment rate, to the duration of unemployment, you also immediately have a prediction of that theoretical model on the duration of unemployment. Here are the results. On the duration of unemployment for homeowners and renters relative to other things. Yeah? So basically this result simply follows from the convexity of the job finding function. If homeowners search just as much in total, as much energy into their job search as the renters, the homeowners put much of their search effort into a decreasing returns function in the one region and very little in the other, while the other two equilibrate the marginal returns. Yeah, it's a very simple result. Nothing much mystery about that. Now, that's what's in the model, but of course, models are only models, and reality may be a little bit more complicated than that. So we can think of a few mechanisms by which this this prediction could be broken.
Before we go into that, this rests on the transaction cost story.
Yeah.
They are different for homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
But you could think that, if you own a house, it's not necessary that you sell it in order to move somewhere else. You can also rent it and rent something else. So in this case, you would essentially face very similar costs to renters.
But
I'm not sure whether
implicit assumption under that is that you face a non-zero disutility from leaving an owned house. So, in a way, it may not be financial transaction costs. The way I'm telling the story is financial transaction costs, but it may be utility costs. Yeah? You could think of, now I have to move to a place and every day the other guy can kick me out if I don't behave. I like to play loud music and I can't do all this stuff. You can think of a number of mechanisms. People like to be homeowners, and there are some costs to them if they lose that. So let's make it a little bit more. So that's basically the story I'm telling here. It's the basic story that Oswald would have told you, maybe not as complicated and in fewer words. And he would have forgotten about the mortgage people. So the only additional thing is the mortgage people that has been done in the literature. But to break that equilibrium, we need something that makes homeowners more effective in finding jobs. And one story that's very often told are differences in search efficiency. So there's a very famous paper by Di Pasquale and Glaser, where they actually show that homeowners have more friends, they know the locality much better, and they also have more friends that would be willing to help you in finding a job. So that could make homeowners with the same search effort more efficient in searching in their locality. What would the consequence be? I would specialize even more in my local labor market because I'm much more efficient in that labor market, but my job finding rate could be higher or lower than that of renters, whatever. Yeah? The other thing is, on the job search and possibilities to influence separation rates. In my model, it's sort of people are kicked on the labor market at random. Yeah, the boss, every month the boss fires 5% of the labor force just to keep everybody motivated. But of course, if you are a mortgage owner and you have something to lose from losing your job, you would also work really hard to convince your boss to kick out your neighbor and not yourself. Yeah? So if you can influence the separation probability, you would be put more effort into retaining your job if you are a mortgage owner, and also if you are a homeowner, just so you don't lose the job. So maybe it's not the exit from unemployment side, but the entry into unemployment side that are driving the results. Finally, you have the possibility of the workers, the strategic possibilities of workers are not only to change search effort, but to put in there, I just ask a lower wage. Hey, I really need that job, give me 10% less wages and I'll still take up the job. Mm-hmm. That I have nothing to say about. Read Coulson and Fisher, 2009. They do that and show that can break this equilibrium as well.
Well, may I ask, isn't there some difference between homeowners and renters in terms of education or income and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because my impression is that more more educated people have a lower turnover or lower fluctuation on the labor market.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be other hypothesis.
Mm-hmm. All else equal. Yeah, so the assumption is the ceteris paribus assumption of economics, saying all else equal, so if all controlling for all other determinants, take two identical twins, give one a home, give the other one an apartment to rent, and these mechanisms will be at work.
So this you want to do through the privatization people?
Yeah. Is one idea. I won't be talking so much about privatization. Pepe will be able to tell you more what happens once you focus on the privatization story. Not today. So we may be telling you a completely different story in 3 months. Yeah, but
what I'm missing in these models, not in Europe, but in general, is the standard human capital story. So if you're a homeowner, you have an incentive to invest in your local capital. If you're a renter, you will invest in your general. The same on the job, right? If you are a homeowner, you have more incentives perhaps to invest in your specific human capital, whereas if you're a renter, you have more incentives. And if you invest more in job-specific human capital, then the separation rates are predicted to be lower from the standard backers. So this could be another channel.
So, I mean, formally, probably it's a very similar method, either that you invest into local relational capital, that's what they are doing, the homeowners here, in that one, in the differences in search efficiency. You live in a place, you're going to stay there longer by your plans, so you invest in it more. Or you could think of it as a mechanism here where through an investment in social or human capital, for instance, firm-specific human capital in that case, so I avoid job loss, a deeper investment in human capital. It's a good point. We can be formulated that way. So your concern is, well, there are differences between people, and richer people just get buy more houses because they're not liquidity constrained, and the more educated people prefer housing more strongly than less educated people. And there are a lot of other things that determine home ownership, unemployment, co-determine it. They have to do with both things. So to identically to test the hypothesis, what we're going to run a regression, and basically all the things that, you know, conditional on ceteris paribus are going to be in a vector of x, which just controls for a bunch of individual specific variables. The y variable, which is the one we want to explain, is the willingness to migrate, the unemployment rate, the long-term unemployment rate, and a bunch of other variables that we will be looking at to see whether home ownership has any effect on that. This is a variable which is one if it is a homeowner and zero else, so it's a dummy variable measuring home ownership. And this one is one if a homeowner has a mortgage. So note, this coefficient measures the impact of homeownership on Y. This coefficient measures the additional impact of having a mortgage and being homeowner on the variable Y. So in a way, the sum of the two variables measures the increase of homeowners with a mortgage relative to renters. So I'm going to have tests on alpha 1. Yes, this should be an alpha 2. And then, of course, it also makes sense why there's alpha 1 plus alpha 2. Only if you sort of are willing to be tolerant with my notation. These are the individual level effects. So in there I would have education, marital status, the number of children, people who want children, have children usually have a higher propensity to own a home no matter what, etc., etc. I'll be talking about that. in here I have region fixed effects, so for each region in which the people reside. Here I use large regions, there are two regional levels at which I can work. I'll explain that in the data. Region fixed effects, so to control anything. You know, sometimes a region that is very rural, there are much higher home ownership rates than a region where, and the unemployment rates are higher in that region than elsewhere. No? I just kick them in. I don't test them. Those are controls. Actually, I will not show you one single, because I have 29 countries, about 3,000 regions, and I don't know enough about Mongolian regions to tell you why exactly Ulaanbaatar has to have a positive and significant effect. So I'm just going to try to sort of wave my hand around my ignorance of Mongolian geography. But the obvious issue there is an endogeneity issue. So, you know, we all know how to run a regression, a cross-sectional fixed effects regression. But the issue there is endogeneity, in the way that, as I said, on the one hand, home ownership may make you less willing to be mobile. On the other hand, once you have reached the time of your life where you have a secure job and a family and children going to school, you're thinking of staying in a place longer, not moving about, and that may actually make you go and buy a house. So you have a selection problem, and you don't know whether it's the fact that settled in people move into houses that make them more mobile, or whether it's the house ownership per se that makes you less mobile. So you have to devise some kind of instrument. There are bunches of instruments that have been used. Regional home ownership, user cost of owning relative to renting, the father's job, the share of multifamily buildings, the share of owner-occupied housing in the region of birth of the residents, the number of the siblings of the same sex, etc., etc. We have the share of owner-occupied housing in the region, the share of detached buildings. Both of them have been used. We also have the gender of the two firstborn children. That's interesting. Why is that interesting? The idea is that if you have two girls or two boys, you want to have one more child of the other sex. There are most fathers who have two girls, they'd like to have a boy. And my brother-in-law, he has three girls, and he would like to have a boy. So the idea there is if whether the first two children have the same sex is arbitrarily, that's a random process. You cannot control it. The woman cannot control it. No one can control it. So there's a stochastic thing. As you come to the third child, as you have the first two, you may want a third child. If you want a third child, that exogenously increases the demand for living space, and that may make you a house owner. This is a really nice exogenous variable. I believe it. Unfortunately, it does not fulfill the second criterion, namely the criterion of relevance. It is uncorrelated to home ownership in our data. It has been used in the literature before, so unfortunately we're not going to get anywhere there.
Yeah. I also think in the exclusion restriction. If you have another kid, that influences other.
Well, see, the exclusion restriction here I buy. So there is no effect on directive. Oh, there might be.
What does that mean? Kids only influence whether you are homeowner or anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Whatever. So basically, I think we agree this literature is weak on instruments. It's very hard to develop an instrument there. I mean, there are good arguments to argue that, you know, if you live in a region where there are many homeowners, that has effects on you over, and yeah, and so not to buy that. And then the share of detached buildings in a region is basically just another measure. It's highly correlated with the homeownership rate because most houses are single houses that are not in a place like that. So yeah, it's very closely related. It is not quite clear why this should be exogenous and the other one endogenous. So we use those to do that stuff anyway. So the data we use comes from the Life in Transition survey of 2010. And this is why I say, you know, I don't know whether the people, there may be other people living in the houses than the houses that were privatized. It was conducted by the World Bank and EBRD. You can look up the details. It has 29 countries in there, plus 5 comparator countries, which I've shown you in the place. We kick out, there's also Turkey in there. I'm not going to look at Turkey. I have enough places I don't know nothing about in that paper. And the interview was conducted in such a way that in the first step, 50 locations, 50 townships were selected at random. In some countries, in particular Russia, because it's a little bit of a bigger place, 75 places were collected. And then in each of these, in a second stage, 20 interviews were conducted in households, and there was information collected on the households, and the answer was the respondent who had the birthday most recently was the respondent, over 15. So there's a lot of randomization in who is selected into that thing in the first place. So we have about 1,000, in some countries 1,500 interviews in face-to-face interviews with household questions and a lot of personal thing. We are interested in labor market and individuals in transition of Western compare European countries. So we drop Turkey and we focus on the 18 to 65 year olds. Yes. No, unfortunately not. There was a similar interview in 2006, but it was not done in a panel structure. There are I know from Tajikistan, I know for sure, there is a standard of living survey, which is a panel, and there are some other data sources that are panels for these countries. But in this cross-country 29 observations, there is no panel structure. The EBRD and the World Bank are envisioning that they will make it into a panel data set. But I heard the last time I heard of that was I had a project with the World Bank when it was a new data set, and they told me in 2011 that they would make a panel, and ever since then I haven't, you know, sort of the idea may have changed. Yeah. So we end up with about 30,500, 4,000 and some from Western European countries, and some 26,000 from these transition economies, some from the EU-12 countries, 8,000, 6,000, 11,000 from the former Soviet Union. Dependent variables, we're going to check a few dependent variables. First, we're going to check, are house owners really less mobile than renters? Second, we are going to look at unemployment and long-term unemployment, because I have a theory that makes very clear predictions on that. Then I'm going to look whether the job is terminated in the last 12 months. That's going something of a proxy for the exit probability from a job, a dummy measuring if a person moved to from employment to unemployment, also exit probability. Looking for a better or an additional job, on the job search possibilities, and there is also a question in the interview: do you have friends or people who could help you in finding a job? So that's my measure for job network effects. that I can do. This brings me to your idea saying let's talk about human capital, regional human capital, specific human capital. I don't know how you're going to empirically measure it. So from these are all sort of with the extensions, I can nicely cover and say these are proxies for something. I have no way to deal with the human capital story. Since these are a lot of dependent variables, you cannot see it anyway, so I did it for nothing. I wanted to tell you what we expect as a sign. So we expect homeowners without a mortgage to be less mobile, have more unemployment, longer unemployment duration, commit more on-job search activities, exit to jobs less often, and have access to job-finding networks more often than renters. We want homeowners without a mortgage to be even more willing to migrate, but less willing, less unemployed, less long-term unemployed, more job on the job search, and a lower probability to be unemployed than a homeowners without a mortgage, and then relative to renters. For some of these things, we cannot really sign. We have no theoretical predictions, but for others, we have. Independent variables, I've already told you about the central interest ones, a dummy variable for home ownership and a dummy variable for if a homeowner also owns has a mortgage. I'm going to control, coming back to what are you going to control for, I'm going to control for age, gender, highest completed education, married person and households with a child, persons who according to the interview, do not speak any of the official languages of the country. That proves to be Umbrian. In the willingness to migrate regression, I also have the number of years a person has resided in a region. That's actually a very important variable because the longer you lived in a place, the more likely you are to want to stay in that place. An indicator for self-reported risk aversion. So there was a question there, do you love risk? And we also know that people who love risk are more likely to be to migrate than people who don't want to migrate. I'm not going to go into the descriptive statistics. That's boring stuff. Just show you that there are a lot of stars. So in all respects, the countries I'm looking at are very different to the comparator countries. That's all. It's just to show, yes, there are significant differences between the countries.
At the household level, you assume all adults?
At the household level, these were personal interviews, and I take the person who had the last birthday in the household, but they were asked a number of household characteristics, such as how many people live in the household, children, etc.
You just have one person per household?
I have one person per household. That is by the design of the interview, because they only sampled one person, and that was the person with the last birth date. So, and then we are into results of regressions. One set of results for the which ones are which? These, I think, are the transition countries. These are the Western European countries. And you see immediately homeowners are less willing to migrate in both regions, but current mortgage holders are more willing to migrate. In Eastern Europe, no significant differences in the between these two groups in Western Europe. Unemployment rates for homeowners are slightly above average in the Eastern European countries. No difference here. For homeowners without mortgage, actually, there's lower unemployment rates. And if you look at the long-term unemployment, then things become very flattery. You don't really know. Here we have an OLS regression, here we have an IV regression where we use the regional share of houses at the location where the interview takes place as an instrument, and things start wobbling about, and most of the time the stuff is insignificant.
You don't need two IVs, because one for mortgage, one for
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So how do you
Yeah, I don't. At the moment, I don't. But you're absolutely right. Actually, I've been holding that very same presentation 2 months ago, and one of the first things the guy said is, you know, this variable is defined using an endogenous variable. So the current mortgage holding is, of course, endogenous as well. And so really, you should have a second instrument. I don't have a solution yet because I'm waiting for Pepper to solve that problem too. Just to increase the level. No, one thing, of course, which is cheap to be had but also loses credibility is to use some regional share for that as well. Yeah, but
you cannot use the national share of mortgages of all.
Oh, yeah. You could do that. You could do that. That would be available. I don't know what the impact, as I said, I may be telling you a completely different story in 2 or 3 months.
So our mortgages, so homeowner is one also for mortgages?
Yeah. So all mortgage people have a one for homeowners. Okay? So all mortgage people are homeowners. That's the natural language formulation of that one.
Possible interpretation of these two regressions, the difference, right? In the OLS, you sort of, this is the result when you, you compare homeowners with the others.
Yeah.
In the IV, essentially, you are comparing regions, right? So this result says that in the regions with higher homeownership, there's less unemployment. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yeah. If you want to interpret it that way, yeah. I'd like to do the regional regression before I do that. Really do that. But I'm just now thinking, sorry to be so unstructured in my discussion, but I'm just now thinking, since we do not know... stupid idea. We'll leave it. And down here, you somewhere... Yeah, down here you have the equivalent test for homeowners being with and without mortgage, the sum of the two coefficients being zero, and you see there are significant differences with respect to the willingness to migrate, and the rest is basically very similar for homeowners and rent with a mortgage and renters. So in a way, we find as one of the questions is what is the difference between former socialist countries and the comparator countries. So it seems that the real difference is here in these regressions on the unemployment rate, where the transition countries are more in line with the Oswald hypothesis than the comparator countries.
Sorry, why do you
see that? Well, am I lying to you? You see that homeowners are more unemployed?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, nothing. Yeah. So that's the Oswald hypothesis. You also see that, as we predicted by the search model, current mortgage owners are less unemployed than the renters, but not significantly differently from... less unemployed than the homeowners without a mortgage, but not significantly differently from the renters. In the mature market economies, this higher unemployment about homeowners doesn't hold, and that actually leads to the fact that the homeowners with a mortgage have lower unemployment rates even than renters.
Yeah, but if the IV is the preferred specification, then the two coefficients are statistically
These two.
0.11? No, the IV
0.06, yeah, okay. More closely, I said. Not significantly. Huh? If at all, I should add. Look at a few other things. So, searching on the job. Actually, homeowners seem to search less on the job than renters. So that's a little bit strange result. I have no idea what's going on, but homeowners search less on the job. Theory will predict them to search more on the job. Homeowners move from employment to unemployment actually more. My theory, I was telling you, they should actually be moving less from employment to unemployment. The only story that sort of remains from the stories to explain success of homeowners there is the network effect, yeah, so having a job network. Homeowners, even after instrumenting with an admittedly questionable instrument, homeowners have a significantly more people who could help them with finding a job than, more often have people who could help them finding a job than renters have.
So the first result, I mean, the job specificity of human capital would do that. But then it would be inconsistent with the second result, right? With the higher unemployment. I mean, with the higher exit rate from employment. So job specificity would increase.
So, okay. Well, that's nice. But why would they move more up? The second one is the problem. Very good. So we found another extra little value added of this thing. And this is the one that sort of made me a little bit more confident that by looking at privatization further, you could get somewhere, or that maybe our effects are more causal than we would like them, or we thought that they were the original effect. Because if you look here, I separated the home ownership variable into private, whether you got it in privatization, inherited it, bought it, whether you have a cooperative, or whether there's a, and that's the four things. And you really see that these coefficients tend to be rather similar in their magnitude and their significance across the different ownership types. So that I would have expected it. This is sort of the first little thing where we are going a little bit more causal than we used to be. So my impression would have been if one of them was a completely exogenous variable, then the privatized should have zero and the others should have very different coefficients. But it seems to be that some of these coefficients are very similar. And that's it for the results. And I'm just going to, just to conclude that whole thing, differences between transition and mature market or economies, that was one point we wanted to talk about. So homeowners without mortgages are less likely to be willing to move in both countries. Unemployments are higher only in transition countries. Homeowners with a mortgage are more likely to be willing to move in transition economies than homeowners without a mortgage. Long-term unemployment risks are probably not very robustly correlated to the homeownership variables. What are the channels? As I said, from the three channels why homeowners could be doing so unexpectedly well, the one with which theory is consistent is the one that the network effects story, sort of saying, well, homeowners invest more in friends that can help with finding a job. The way of obtaining ownership really does not seem to make much of a difference. That may increase the trust in the findings we have. Although, as I said, we are still now, the next step in this one is to sort of put this on a shelf and use the privatization rather than the regional homeowner share as an instrument. That is what we would, or only look at privatization as a dependent variable. And Pepper knows much more about the results in that case than I do at the moment. And I did not put on there the thank you for your attention. Sorry for that.